So we're up to Siman Tzadi Zayin, the last Siman in Hilchos Bas B'Chalav. But before I begin, as you saw on the sheets, I'd like to share Ha'ara, which really was relevant not to the previous Siman Tzadi Vav, but to the end of Siman Tzadi Hey. I really should have said this before doing Siman Tzadi Vav, but for some reason, I'm not sure when I originally prepared the Makor sheets. I had it over here. So I'll follow what we have in the Makor sheets, which you should have, is labeled Shir Mem Gimel. And again, we'll get momentarily just after this horror to the issue in a hand in Siman Tzadi Zayin about making milk and bread. But before we get to that, again, just a horror at the end in Siman Tzadi Hey Sif Dalad, we had a statement from the Mechaber Yeroa Li, Shem Nosnu Efer B'mayim Chamin Shabiyora Kodem Shinichal Teres B'Soch. Again, that was the Siman was talking about washing milk and flesh plates together in the same basin, the same sink, and we discussed about sinks, and I showed you some tshuvas about sinks and so on. But the Mechaber says, if you put afer, the ashes, again, which is used as some form of detergent, into the hot water that was in this yore, in this basin, before putting any of the kederis inside, then even if there's shuman, even if there's some guk, you know, some residue on the plate, mutter, it's okay, they are afer, who knows, same time, live gone. Okay, in other words, the afer makes whatever flavor is going to be transferred into tam of gam, right? Because that's doesn't taste good. It's something people don't eat as a rule. So therefore, if you mix the afer into the water before putting the dishes in, so then even though you put milk and flesh and dishes in, and there's something that can transfer from one to the other, and it's hot water we're talking about, nonetheless, the flavor that's being transferred is also in tam of gam. That's what we discussed. That's what Shulchan Aruch says. And the Taz, and then Ramon doesn't argue. Ramon doesn't argue with this kula. The Taz is a cotton test for him, right? It's the source number two. They afer those in the Kamal. Pizza ain't Isser enough for Boris. Shakaran Zayef, also Michele, the Tov Tavshil. Shar Boris, Yeshbo Afer, Kishoso, and so Michele, and so on. He says Boris is also some type of detergent, okay, and it's made from Chelev. It's made from, you know, from fats or from other forbidden items, okay? And, it goes into this to a tavshil. It doesn't answer it because again, it has afer in it, and it's also in talmud of gum. Whatever flavor is transferred is also in talmud of gum. Okay, so says the Taz. We pointed out briefly at the end of Siman Tzadi Hey, but I didn't elaborate on it then. I'll elaborate on it now. Taz points out that Tzarch in Horozu the El Siman Pei Zayin. If we remember the end of Siman Pei Zayin, we had the four chumras of the Ramo. One was about shampoo. So the Ramo wrote right Le'el Siman Pei Zayin Kozamod Da Kli. Shaosin Maim Lechafifas Harosh, the kli which is used to make the shampoo, okay, out of bas v'chol residue and so on and so forth. Ramo said Yesh Lahachmir about that. So the question is, why should this be any different? Okay, and he said Regilus Hula Arisham Bas V'chol, and some people will use the same thing for the meat and dairy. Now you want to use this for the shampoo and so on. That was one of the four chumas Ramo at the end of Siman Pei Zayin. You can look it up again. Ramo said there to be machmir. Here the Ramo didn't argue. As one could argue, okay, the Mechaber maybe didn't agree with that Chumash Ramos. He says the same thing over here. And therefore, he says the Efer is also Talmud of Gam in the case over here in Tzadi Hey also. And the same thing. But the Ramos, who quoted that Chumash at the end of Siman Pei Zayin, should have said something over here. And that's why the Taz here, it's called Taz Vav, says Tzarkin Arozu, writes, Kavan, the Nosin Talmud of Gam, ain't shame, but Isser, Bos, Mechal, Gamri. Okay. He said, one moment. Yeah, here we're saying that because it doesn't tell of gum, it's not really a supposed to call him. And there the Ramo is machmir, so why aren't we machmir over here as well? That's what the Taz points out. All right. And he discusses maybe it's not always so clear, maybe it's something there to. Here it's more of a suffix, and therefore we make makel and so on. And in the perhaps over there it's a bad. I know fully. A question of whether you know whether it's for sure mixed with bas v'chol or not. And he says tzorchi l'maisim. That's the that is the Taz. So trying to understand what the chilik is between the two cases. The shach and the nekudas hakesev thinks that it's not a kasha. The shach and the nekudas hakesev here in Siv Dalim of this Taz on Tazvav. He said, "Lo kashim rikolz there. To lo kam rachame el adama at shuman adoba kapiyekli no sin tamu kama de efer." So the shach said, "You have to look at the case carefully. The case here in Simtari Hay that we're talking about is there's some residue, some guk, some shum, some lunas on the plate, on the fleshy plates and the milk plates, which you're putting into the same basin, okay? And that's what's going to transfer the flavor. So that ma'at shuman adovak apiyakli no sintam of kama de efer. Mashenu kein hasam, but back in Simon in Pei Zion, is gufachol. That was actually milk itself, okay? And or in the case of perhaps Taz pointed out, this boris was made out of chelim itself. Okay, here it's not actual ban. But it's not actual buzz, not actual cholim. It's a lower amount and so on. So he doesn't think it's a steer. That's the shach's comment in the Kudus HaKesef. However, sof, the shach agrees with the Taz that this psach of Ramah, this we did point out when we first learned from Tzadi Hei, the shach does agree that this horah of the Shulchan Aruch is a problematic one, not for the reason the Taz said. Taz, you can make the shach points out in the Kudus HaKesef, you mean mechalik between the cases. You know, whether you're dealing with actual boss or an actual cholam, you're dealing with just a residue and so on, okay? Or the case for the chelev, you're doing actual chelev, or you're dealing with this residue, so there's room to be mechalik. But he says, I have a different problem. He points to what he said in Sivkot Nechof Aleph, which we learned, it's in Siv number 4. He said, Tzorach in Baro Zumi Tamacher, I agree with the Taz that this kula of the mechaber, I think it's a problem for a different reason. And that's in Sivkot Nechof Aleph, you know, as we saw. Okay, and he says, Ninzelo Ninza Basum Shum Posing Lon Shum Echer Machorim is Kiru, Gambe Shosu Lo is Kiru, Adra, Mashani Raposin, the ancient Takoma Haga Klim and Yomo, in Lo Shesh Bamaim Shishim Kenegra Kli. He said, look, the Mechaber begins the sift back in source one by saying, Ye Roy Lee, but the Shach points out, Ye Roy Lee, okay, that's his opinion, but it doesn't seem that anybody else says that. I didn't see this in any other Posing, any other Swarm, none of the Achonim, I mean, people the Shach refers to as Achonim. Okay, nobody else says it, but he says himself doesn't bring it. Adarab, it's mashma that you can't be magal kli ben yomo unless it's shishim. Can I get a kli? Just throwing an afer won't work. And he says, really, that's the push up shot. That's what works out. Remember, we had a suffix. The shop goes on to say, we discussed earlier in the year, what if you have the biggest pot in the neighborhood? How do you kasher that? Usually you kasher something by putting it in a big pot of boiling hot water. What if this is the biggest pot in the town and you can't kasher it? There's no bigger pot to put it in. You're never going to have shishim against it and so on. How are you going to do it? So the Shach said, why is it a problem? According to this psak of the Shulchan Aruch, no. So just put in Eifer. It's not some time of God and finish. Why can't you kasher it that way? Okay, so this is the objection of the Shach had. If you look in Simon Tzadi Hei, in the Gilead and Mahar Shar, Shalom Eger, if you caught in your test, he gives a teretz. He quotes the Chuv of the Cham Tzvi. So the Chuv is Chacham Tzvi, some Kufal, which we see printed in source 6. He says, Hela Lahatir, but then Gam and Boris. He said, no, the Mechaber is right. And it's not only Eifer, but it's also Boris. Okay, that which the Taz brought up. It's also whatever type of detergent is, all okay. And he quotes others who disagree. At least they will disagree with Mokham Hefsid and so on, Hefsid Maruba. Okay. Anyways, he says, Enechanami, there are those who agree with the Mechaber. And even in the Shach case, Shach asks, how come you couldn't take care of the big pot with Eifer? So the Marshal quotes in the Chacham says, yeah, take care, you can, in a Chanami, you could. Okay, why didn't he say it? I assume that the Dabar Pashut. Okay, the Chacham Tzvi's Tshuva I printed in source number 6 is in the Sim Kuf Aleph, the Tshuva of Chacham Tzvi, Bedin Mayim Sheish Bam Eifer. It's our case, okay? And he says that he raises the question of the shach. Visalkadait, right? The third line, 6. Visalkadait, the Eifer. Excuse me. Visalkadait, the Eifer program of Maya. My kusha do may Eifer higilum, right? Why shouldn't that work? Ani tamala, my kusha. What's that question? Of course it works, okay? It quotes other types of Varma Pogman. And again, you can read through the rest of the Tshuva, but the Chacham Tzvi's point is an Echanami. It could work, okay? It's possible to be Pogain the water by putting in detergent, and you can rely on that. And that, they didn't say it because it was a Dabar Pashut. Okay, so we're talking with a big pot, you can put in a Dabar Pogain. All right, now there's a whole question, you know, what is considered a Dabar Pogain? Or ashes exactly pogam, maybe detergent's even better than ashes in that regard, because Asher, sometimes people do eat, right? We mentioned, I think, Erev Tishba, people eat Asher. Right, anyway, but that's in the Tzur Chacham Tzvi. So this is a kula, and it's very much no gala maisik, you know, whether detergents and so on that are put in is considered a ta'am of yam. The Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Pesach. It's in a tough nun base. If, hey, there are more rites, you know, when you're a magil, you have to be magil with water. Can you, let's say I want to do Hagolot's Kelim, I don't know what I want to do it, but I want to do Hagolot's Kelim with something other than water. I'll boil up, wine, milk, or juice, I don't know, some other type of thing. It have to be water, it can only be magil with water. So the Shulchan Aruch says, yeah, Ramo writes, ain't magil mishum mashke rak b'mayim. But, mahani hagol b'chol mashke. Okay? Then he writes, in higel harbe kelim b'yorim, if you use the same pot and the same water for many, many different kelim, ad shemerov pleitas kelim naso amayim kitzir, ain't lahagil ol b'osan amayim. If so much stuff came out, this water is no longer clear, it's almost got a murky type of quality to it, then you shouldn't use that water anymore. So the Mishnah Berurah writes on this sif, this tough num base, Orachaim Hilchos Pesach, and Sif Kot Mechav Vav, number 8, the Mishnah Berurah writes, the reason why the Mechaber, the Ramah, says, B'dievet, any type of mashke can work, really, Chathchili should only be magil and water. B'dievet, other mashke can work, he says, Mishum Deishcholke, the Gam Mashke Makhlitin Momayim, that's a question whether other liquids have the capacity, you know, to bring stuff out the way water does, and we're making with the oven. And then he adds, "V'kasa poskim the hu adin mayim hamu orim be'efer shekorin loyd, which is a type of soap. Even if mixed with efer, that's also good. It's not pure water, but it's mixed with efer. O mashenogim atzarfin shemarsigin akli aydeish marayin o vine stain mur b'mayim different types of stuff. Ain't like giving a chafkila rak ma'olamad, but the oven mahane hagol ben." Now, Until before Pesach, you should go ahead and be magil a second time of plain water. But Pesach, you never had a chance to do that. Then mutl is tamish lechatchila. Our goal is you can rely on that lechatchila. Now the question is, the question if this is considered water or not. Okay, besides this kashim water, it's according to the shach. Okay, there's this issue of whether it's the second problem. Aside from the shock, what it's Tom Pogan, the question was considered water. In any event, this is the issue with the detergents or stuff in the water, which we're supposed to obviously discuss. So I just quoted a couple of chuvas from Moshe Feinstein. Chuvas Igros Moshe Yoredeya, Chelik Bey, Simon Lamed Aleph. Look at the case. Binyan Hagala Shel HaPastcherizah, Keshu Ben Yomo Mechol Akum, Meish Eitzel Azeh. The issue is as follows. You have a dairy plant. Okay, a million on the dairy plant. And they make arrangements to do a Chol of Yisrael run. All right? But, you know, they don't want to wait 24 hours before, cleaning everything and then running that. Can you rely on a quicker, so to speak, a quicker means of kashering the utensils and the machine or whatever, so now you can do the Chol of Yisrael run? That's the question which he was asked. So again, he discusses some issues which are relevant to us. And one of the things he mentions again is, you can put in a dabar pogim. You can put in put in other things, or you can and then do a second hagol. And so, like the Mishnah Berurah said, that's what he mentions in this tshuva. That's something to take a look at. Look at the end of the tshuva with dabar lahaniach mitchila a for mayim lahavkim achakach mayim lahagil. They put in some detergent and run it, then run it again a second time. So again, this is something which he discussed as well. In a different tshuva, or Yerodei Chalik Beis in Mem Aleph, Im Rishayin L'smoch HaLagolos Akko Rosen Sh'osim Yuzem B'shul Shul Yitzchalku V'yafsidu. They clean it out, okay? They're not waiting at Binyomo, but they clean it out and so on, and they put in, they put in other stuff and so on. So this is a couple of tshuvas from Moshe Feinstein on the subject, and we'll just read through them. And he says we can rely on such a hagola. It sometimes comes up in Tzahal. You know, the truth is they talk about in Tzahal. Can it be do hagola? Something which is okay for Chayli Tzahal. They've got to move all the time. They don't always have time to wait 24 hours and so on. So the question is, can you have such a kula? Okay. Put soap or some other type of detergent. Look in the Piskei Chuvas, the more recent Sefer. That's in Rosh Hashanah, Tovlin and Meis. So he writes, the Hechrech, the Hagar Kli, so they look at the second line of 11. This is in the Piskei Chumas, it's in Tovlin and Meis, and Meis. He says, in the Hechrech, the Hagar Kli, Kishu Ben Yomo, Yuchal Kodem Hagar, the Hartiach, the Kli, Shirot, the Lagel, Mayim, Shemuv, and Dvar, Mapogwin, Kimi Sabon, Economica, whatever, some type of soap, some type of detergent, Ofen, Shamayim, or Yuru, Uyim, Lashtiath, Beyadim. Like they came, Yifkim was a Tom, Abu Abakli, a Chakach, Yagal Kli, and Mayim Nakim, then do another Hagola with proper water, you don't have to wait 24 hours. Yeshom Shain Tarach also stay pulos with Daim Yosu, and Mayagola for one of the Pogos of Mayim the first time. And, you know, they seem to prefer to first be Pogan, first run it through, so Kashrut, so to speak, with soap or some other type of detergent that makes these stuff with the Tom of Gum, and then do it a second time regularly. And then others say they don't have to do it. You don't have to do it, but I think the Shlomo Zalman is making it's enough to do it one time. Anyway, that's just a aura on a matter of Kasher and Kalim with soap or sometimes detergent. Again, it sounds like we don't really do it lechatchila. Okay, we try and wait 24 hours, but I guess if a person is stuck, like in tzal, sometimes you have to move and you need to do it. That's what the Piskei Tshuva says. Piskei Tshuva. There in source 11 says that if you stop, then you can rely on this cooler. Okay. Anyway, that was just a quick horror. Let's move now to the Siman Tzadi Zion to end off Pasul Cholov. Here the topic is making dough with milk, or making milky bread or fleshig bread. Usually bread is neither milky nor fleshig. We don't add any milky ingredients or any fleshig ingredients. It's part. Okay, the question is, can I make milky bread or can I make fleshy bread? More practically, questions about milky bread. So here, we have the following statement in the Gemara Pesachim, of Lamed Vav and Aleph, source number 12. Gemara says, Latanya ain loshin eso isa b'chalim. You're not allowed to knead, K-N-E-A-D, knead dough with milk. Okay, I mean, dough is kneaded, flour is mixed with water usually, sometimes with sweets and other things, but you're not allowed to do it with milk. So, make a milking of bread. I want to do that. And as Rashi points out there, this is a din kol yamos Hashem. It's all year long. It's nothing to do with the, you know, with base or anything else. And I allow to make milking bread. Why? Rashi says, shelo yochal basar, because bread is considered a staple. And people eat bread, maybe at least not in those days, less so probably today, but people eat bread with all their meals. So if you're going to make milking bread and you're going to have leftover bread and it's milking, you put it aside on the table, you put it in the cabinet, and you'll forget that it's milky bread. Usually milk bread is not milky. So now next time you have your next fleshy meal, you'll take out this bread, forgetting that it's milky. You'll end up eating it together with meat. You'll have a sandwich with a piece of salami and a milky bread. So that's the concern. The reason it comes up in Pesachim is because it's talking about there, we call matzah ashira. Matzah, you know, basic matzah is just flour and water, right? Matzah shira means instead of water, you use what we call today egg matzahs. Okay, egg matzahs really today have nothing to do with eggs. Okay, rather they mix some other ingredient instead of water. So it gives it more flavor. So let's say, I think more commonly it's apple cider, apple juice. Most egg matzahs today are made with apple juice, made with grape juice sometimes. You can buy it. So these are other things that are mixed in instead of the water or in addition to the water. It's another discussion. But anyway, you make matzahs, that's why those matzahs are sweeter. Now, you know, for the Seder on Pesach night, the mitzvah of Achilles Matzah, so then you cannot have any of these other added ingredients into the matzah. It has to be pure flour and water only, nothing else. That's because the requirement of Lechem Oni. And there are a number of different definitions in the Gemara of Lechem Oni. One definition of Lechem Oni is that it's the poorest possible ingredients, right? The cheapest possible ingredients. Oh, that's why they're almost $30 a pound, right? Cheap Lechem Oni. Okay, but Lemaisa. That's, you know, because I guess the labor and the need for people who are in the matzah business make money. But lemaisa, there's nothing to it, right? It's just flour and water, no other ingredients, cheap ingredients. So that's for the Seder. You have to have lechem oni because, again, that's a pasuk. And at the Seder, you can't have anything else. The question is, what about the rest of Pesach? The rest of Pesach, well, there's no mitzvah eating matzah. I can't eat chametz. But is that chametz? No, it's not chametz. Okay, the fact that you add the apple juice instead of water or grape juice instead of water doesn't make it chametz. It's not chametz thing. So we're not permitted to use it at the Seder because the Seder has the unique requirement of lechem oni. There's no requirement of lechem oni all week long because no mitzvah eat matzah all week long. Just not like the chametz. So if I have what's called matzah ashira, that's sort of the opposite of lechem oni, right? Again, one of the definitions of lechem oni has to do with poor. So matzah ashira means rich. It's a richer taste. It's got more ingredients in it. It's got more flavor in it. Chocolate covered matzahs, things along those lines. So they're not chometz thick per se, or again, we call egg matzah. They're not chometz thick, but and therefore, lechora, you're permitted to eat it for the rest of the week. You can eat such the matzah the rest of the week. Now, the only thing is, Ashkenaz, and Sfaradim do. Ashkenaz and Chumah, based on Rebbe Tam, one opinion that if you do add apple juice or certain other ingredients, so it begins to be, the chometz process starts, but those matzahs are thicker. The chometz process starts, not actual chometz, something called chometz nuksha. The chometz process started, but then it stopped, it didn't rise all the way. Again, we're not learning psachim now, we don't need to know all those details, but that's the question. Matzah shira, so lemaisa, we have a chumra among the Ashkenazim, there are more quotes, not to eat matzah shira, not to eat egg matzah the whole week called the Seder. Certainly, kids, nobody holds you can eat the Seder because it lacks lechemoni. It's not lechemoni, but the rest of the week, so strictly speaking, it's mutter because it's not chometz thick. However, a chumra, Rabbeinu Tam, a chumra Ashkenazim, there are more quotes, but we don't eat egg matzah all week long either. However, the Ramos says, but someone who's a chola, someone who can't digest, a problem with a sick or an elderly person, whatever, can't digest regular matzahs, so you have to say that you're stuck. Okay, do the best you can, you have lechem only. But the rest of the week, since lemaisa, it's not really chomer, it's just a chomer, the rest of the week, we will allow egg matzahs, even among Ashkenazim, for somebody who is a chola, someone has a digestive disorder or trouble digesting regular matzahs and so on, so the person can eat regular. I can eat egg matzahs the rest of the week of Pesach. Interesting aside, they used to print that on the box of egg matzahs. On the side, they quoted that siman from the Shulchan Aruch. They quoted that Ramah printed on the side of the page. I think it said in Yiddish that this is permissible on Pesach for Ashkenazim only if you're in the category of a cholet. They quoted that din from the Ramah. Problem was, I remember as a kid, that's how it was. Till not that long ago. Problem was, as people, American Jews, not so learned and so on, non-observant Jews and so on, they would see egg matzahs. They look on the side, see all this Hebrew writing. Oh, this must be the top quality matzahs. They would buy it, use it for the Seder. Okay, they didn't understand a word, they didn't understand the Yiddish, they didn't understand the din of the Shulchan Aruch. So now I think they printed English. I think Manischewitz, the other companies changed the practice in recent years. Now they printed English that you should avoid it unless you're in the category of somebody who sick or something like that. But for a long time, it became a problem because people didn't understand what it said. They thought, they saw this Hebrew writing, this must be the best. All right, the non-Jewish shopkeepers didn't know either. I just saw somebody showed me, I guess if people don't know, someone showed me from a Walmart somewhere in Pennsylvania where they had a big display and it said big letters a few weeks ago. It said, Happy Hanukkah. Big letters. And the shelves of display of matzahs. And I said, Jews, I guess, eat matzahs all the time. Anyway, so that's why the sugya comes up over there, adding other ingredients into the bread, or in the case of the Morris Homer, to the matzah. So the context of that discussion, the Gemara in Daf Lamed Vav says, Ain losh and isa b'chol of oil, Lord, nothing to do with Pesach. You're not allowed to make any kind of dough with milk. Milk also would be matzah shira. But you're not allowed to make that. You're not allowed to make egg matzah, so to speak, out of milk. You're not allowed to make any kind of bread out of milk. And Rashi again says, "Koy moshes all year long, nothing with Pesach, because you'll end up eating it with flakes." Then the Gemara says, "Talks about honey. What about honey? How come you're a kamalos also the duv shem and kamal the duv shem and duv over honey?" But the Gemara's conclusion, "Boy, it's ema la ola mechalav." I know that right before we're talking about kneading it with milk, but how can that be mutter? How can it be mutter? We just said you're not allowed to do it all year long. How can you talk about matzah with milk in it? You're not allowed to make a dough out of milk all year long, nothing to do with Pesach, because you may come to eat it with flesh. Or it says, Kedama Ravina, Ke'ein Tura Shari. Hachanami Ke'ein Tura. Gemara has a kula. There's a leniency, an exception to the rule of making, you're not allowed to make dough with milk, bread or milk, milky bread, but if it's Ke'ein Tura, then it's mutter. What is Ke'ein Tura? Funny expression. So Rashi explains there, Pesachim on Rav and Aleph, second Rashi, 13. Ke'ein Tura, ayin, ke'ein, like the eye of a Tura, of a shore, of an ox. Like the eye of an ox. Strange expression, but I guess it was an expression. Rashi says it means ma'at. Ke'ein shall shore, like the size, roughly, of the eye of an ox. Meaning you make a little bit, then mutter lolos b'chol. You can make a dough, a small amount of dough, make a small amount of bread with milk, okay, if it's this size, ke'ein turah. Exactly how big that is, I'm not sure. But again, like the size of an animal's eye, a roll that size, that you can make even with milk. Why? It says Rashi, to ochale miyad b'masachas. What was the whole concern? The whole concern is you'll make milk and bread, and then you'll have leftover. You make a few loaves of bread or a big loaf of bread. You don't eat the whole loaf of bread in one sitting. So you, whatever bread that is left, you'll put away. And then later on, you'll forget that this was milk and bread, and you'll end up taking it out and eating it with your fleshy meal. That was the concern. However, if you make so little that you'll consume the whole thing in one sitting, right? That's Rashi says, you're not going to put it away. We're not worried about it. You'll end up, and then it's musa mutter to make it with milk. In other words, small quantity. That's how Rashi understands. Ke'ein tura means you make a very small quantity such that the chashash of having stuff left over is not a valid chashash. Okay, then they didn't make this rule. They only made the rule when you make a normal sized bread, normal sized loaf, they'll have some left over. Not, you know, most people when they bake bread, they don't bake just for one sitting, right? You don't bake bread every single time you're going to eat. You bake a loaf of bread, a big loaf, whatever, challah, and then you eat it at a couple of meals. So that's the concern. But if taki you're making so little, ke'ein tura, such a small amount, then it's mutter. So says Rashi explaining that Gemara. So that's the Gemara Lamed Vav. A little bit earlier, Gemara had the flip side of this situation. We're about the bottom of Lamed Avadala from something. Or it says in the same breath, 14. By the way, same thing. If you did, then the bread is usur. But there's an important point. Okay, once they acid it, if you make milky bread, they're allowed to eat it all. Not allowed to eat it at all. You can't even eat it with milk or eat it by itself. Okay, kol hapas kula asura. We play hergal aver because again it'll lead to an aver. So the chachamim legislated against doing this. They said, this bread you can't eat. This bread you cannot eat. Once they made the rule. So therefore, you're not allowed to, even if you made a dough with milk, you can't say, you know what, I'll eat it all with milk. I'm having a big milk and dough tonight. I'll make sure you eat it all. No, I'll let it do that. Okay, man, hergal aver. All right, that's one point added by this morning. Daf Lamed, Lamed Avadah, very bottom of Lamed Avadah. I'm talking, you cannot make, such a thing. Even if you realize it's too late. It's awesome. Okay. Kala paskul asur. Then kayotzebo ain't tashin as a tanur ba'alya. Alya is a tail, a fatty part of the tail. So you want to grease up. You want to use the tail, the fatty part of the animal, to grease up the oven. That's what I should tashin, lashon tach. Ain't tashin, a tanur ba'alya, ain't tash, kala paskul asur. Same problem. You're going to bake bread. Okay. And it's going to be, this is the fleshing side of the problem. You're going to grease up the oven with fleshings, right? With fleshings. Okay. If you do that and you bake bread, the whole bread's going to be also bread's fleshings. Same problem. It's also Ajiyasik, the Tanner, and so on. So that's the sugya on the Flamida. Again, that's the fleshing side of the sugya. Now, regarding this Ke'ein Tura Kula, which Rashi said is a question of amount, we're going to see, we're looking at Mishonim, they struggle with this phrase. The Rosh, Tzachim Perik Beis, Simon Zion, the Rosh, right? It's a little bit different, I think a little different. Although the Rosh in Kula looks like he's agreeing with Rashi. The Rosh in Tzachim Perik Beis, Simon Zion, 16. The Rosh writes, Tanya ain't loshness is b'chalav, ain't losh kol apostle surah b'nei hergal aveira. Kayotzi, boy, he brings the two gemaras together, we just saw. Ain't tashan atanar v'ayah, and so on. Ain't tash kol apostle kula asurah shes aveira. Ish shonei bo. Shonei from the word shinoi. If you made some sort of shinoi, the avdino ke'ein tura shari. Okay? Keva, the shonei bo, may the yod of the shmeh kero hu the avilei. The Rosh seems to understand this cool of Ke'ein Tura is not a matter of the size. I don't think that's what the Rosh means. It means you bake it with some sort of shinoi. You build in some sort of shinoi. We'll see. Ishori Behu, Bavdino Ke'ein Tura. Now, I don't know what the word Ke'ein, Rashi understood the word Ke'ein like I am, like I, but Ke'ein also means like or similar to Ke'ein. Cane this, or they make a cane, cane this, cane that, similar to, like, So something with a tura, we'll have to see what exactly he may mean by that, but somehow what the Rosh seems to be stressing is that it's a matter of a shinoi of some sort. And that shinoi will serve as a heker. It doesn't look somehow like regular bread, like regular rolls. And then you want to be misled, because the whole concern is there'll be some leftover, and they'll inflation. But as soon as you look at this, you realize it's such an unusual as we see, it's with the shape. There's something unusual about this. Okay, it's Kain Tur. It's like a Tur. Tur is an ox, but we'll see. Maybe it's about the shape. I don't know. We'll see. But it looks different. So that'll serve as a hecker to remind you, oh, this is milking bread. That's right. So therefore, it's mutter. That's the way the Rush learned in Pesachim. I don't think he's saying the same thing as Rashi. He doesn't say it's a matter of the quantity. However, in Chulin, Parakas Mechav Aleph, by us, he quotes the more Pesachim, Garcin, Parakal Shah, Daflam, in Lashon, etc., etc. Okay. But he also writes, in Shonibu, the Shonib Avida Kain Tura Shari. And there he says, Pirish Rashi, Sham Kain Tura Shal also keep Dabar Muat, Ubit Kana Kaino Shal Shor. A small roll, a small round roll, like the eyes of an ox. So again, maybe the Rush, by quoting Rashi, he is saying that Gufa is the Shinri. Maybe that Gufa is the Shinri. The fact he made such a small amount, it's just a small roll. Again, I get the impression of the Rush in Pesachim, it's not what he's saying. It's unclear, again, the Rif there in Pesachim, Chesed off the page of the Rif, 18, quotes this, Tanya, etc., in Loshin. He also, he's Shani Lu, Avilakain, Tur, Shari, the Kevin, the Shanibu, again, made the Yad de la Kera of the Lu. Same like the Rush, right? The Rif also says, it sounds like it's more of a physical shinui in the object, not just a matter of the quantity. And that's what the Rif also says that in Pulin, Lama Chasim Alef, he quotes the Gemara. It looks at the M19, is no Maskina, Mazakma, the Shani Beb Avino Kain Tura Shari. Again, they don't explain, neither the Rif nor the Rush really explain the word Kain Tura, although Kain doesn't seem to me like an eye, but rather like something like Tura. Okay, the Rambam is clear. Ilchos Machalosor is Parates Halacha Chav Beis. Source 20. The Rambam writes, "Ein loshin ha'isa v'cholav, v'im losh kol ha'pas asur v'neher galaver." That's the Gemara. And let him knead dough with milk, and if you did, the whole pas is awesome, because shem yochal b'bas, you may come to with meat. And also, "Ein tosh in the tarim ha'ayim, tosh kol ha'pas asur ha'chiyaskin the tarim ha'shem yochal b'cholav." The reverse case, right? Now, look what he writes. "Im shino b'tsuras ha'pas, ad shetien nikeres, k'dei shel yochal b'lo'bas v'cholav, or izim mutav." You did something, in Rambam stressing Shina Mitsura Sapas, something about the shape, the physical nature of the bread. You make it in a different way. Okay, once in a while, I remember, you know, nowadays they make all these funny types of challahs. I remember, it wasn't this year, but a couple of years ago on Thanksgiving, somebody had a challah in the shape of a turkey. Or they make, you know, this vinegar. After, you know, after Pesach, the Schlissel Challah, make the challah in the shape of a key. So today you can make challahs in the shape of anything. So, but there, it was not as commonly done. So the Rambam writes, in Shina B'tzura Sapas, if you made some change in the shape, so now it's nicker that this is unusual, then you'll remember that it's milk and bread, you won't come to the problem. Just pointing out the Bar Tanura, maybe this is what these Rishonim are saying, although I'd be happy if they actually said it specifically, but there's a Bar Tanura in Maseches Kelayim. Parak Bey is Mishnah Zion. It says Kilayim talks about planting, this part of Kilayim, talks about planting, you know, certain produce can't be planted together. You're planted, vine with wheat and so on and so forth. So the question is how close, and you have fields that are next to each other, different shapes and so on. So one shape, let's say one field that juts into another, all kinds of technical details, almost mathematical. Mishnah is Kilayim. So in Parak Bey's Mishnah Zion, it speaks about a tor. A tor can mean a row. So this row is wheat, and that row is grape, or whatever. But the Bar Tanura has an interpretation on the Mishnah Kilayim, Parak Bey's Mishnah Zion, 21, tor, hushen tachshit shel isha. Tor is a type of women's jewelry, shetzuraso mishuleshes, bal kolomar bal shalos zovios. It's three-sided. We call that a triangle. Shalos zovios. Okay, it's a triangular shaped jewel. So that's what a tor is. It's a triangular shaped jewel. Loshon Torah Zov Nasalach wasn't Shir Hashirim. It says Torah Zov Nasalach in the Kutz Hakosev. The Torah Zov, talking about jewels, right? Jewels. I'm talking about the spoils that they got from Yamsum and Torah, according to Chazal. But anyway, Torah Zov, not Torah Zov. That's the Taz's play on words. Right? The Taz takes the phrase Torah Zov. And he, since he's commenting on the Tur Shulchan Aruch, he names his work the Turezov. Okay, but it's a play on words, Turezov. The Pesuk says Turezov with the Tav. Taz is Turezov with the Tes, but he's commenting on the Tur, so it's a play on words. Tori Zov becomes Tori Zov. That's why the end of the pasuk says Tori Zov Nasalach in the Kudus HaKosev. That's why the Shach's commentary on the Taz, he calls it the Kudus HaKosev. Anyway, so Tori Zov Nasalach, talking about this jewel, okay? And that's about Shvo, Korin, Karen Zovas, and Muchadedes Rosh Tor. The field, the way this particular field, the Hilchos Kilayim, is constructed, so it comes to a point at the top, so it's a Kilayim. Okay, anyway, it talks about it. This one has Chitim, the other one has Sorim, or the vine, or whatever it is, that's a problem. All right, anyway, we're going to Kilayim now. But the point is that maybe when it says Ke'ein Turah, all right, means you made it the way Rashi learned, it's a matter of the quantity. But other Bishonim seem to say it's a matter of the shape. And so Ke'ein Turah is an example of unusual shape. Usually rolls are not triangular, right? That's what it means. Ke'ein Turah, you make it like a triangle. Ke'ein, like Turah, like the Bartanura says here. It's like the shape of a triangle. Now, the truth of the matter is, there is a fellow who brings me every year on Purim, a challah, the shape of a triangle, and they put poppy seed in the middle, so it looks like a hamantash. Okay, anyway, but usually bread is not baked in the shape of a triangle, so that's an example of an actual physical shinoi in the shape of the bread. That's how the perhaps you put the Bartura together with the other Bishonim, and that's maybe the Ke'ein Turah means. It's not a matter of the quantity, but rather a matter of the shape. And the point being, that'll remind you that this is milching bread or fleshing, as the case may be. The Rashba and the Torah of Bayis Kotzer, Bayis Gimel Shar Dalam here says, he quotes the Gemara and something we just saw, Imshina Bitsuros Hapas, like Rav said, you change the shape. The Asa Kechen Ketanen Ke'ein Hashor, again, I think the small rolls, okay, that's more like Rashi, okay. Sharoa Yodea Shaloshina Mitzurasa Elakeh, but he also says Shina Mitzurasa. Maybe he's referring to both. Or maybe he's saying the small quantity is Gufa, the Hekeh. Whatever it is, it's noticeable. Someone will ask about it, why is it in such a strange shape or such a strange amount? And the answer is because this is milk. I wanted as a reminder. So then it's Mutter. Let's look in the tour here in Simon Tzadi Zion by us, 23. Ain loshon ha'isa b'chalav shemiyov la'ochlim ha'basar v'mosh kalis ha'surah filo ochlevado. Yavdina kain, Torah start, Pirsh Rashi. So the Torah quotes Rashi, shalo losh el adover muad. Only needed a small amount. Rav Alpha is Pirsh also behen shinoi. The Rif, that's the Rif both in the Chulin, got it in source 18-19. Chulin chesman alaf in his pages, and sorry, Pesachim chesman alaf in his pages, and Chulin lamed chesman alaf in his pages. The Torah quotes that the Rav Alpha disagrees, Rif disagrees. Rav Alpha's Pirsh also in Shinoi, Pirsh Tzuras Ke'ein Hashor. Okay, again, however Ke'ein Hashor means, maybe it means, he says, sure, he's not talking about this jewelry. It looks like the shape is, maybe it's an oblong shape, I'm not really sure. But bottom line, that's the reminder, that it's milky, so then it's the mutter. So we come now to Simon Tzadi Zayin, Sif Aleph, 24. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Ein Loshet Isa B'cholam, Shem Yavel Ochlin Bosa. Good. Like the Gemara says, you're not allowed to knead dough with milk, because it may come to you with meat. We watch color pas also. A fil the achol of adam. Even to eat it by itself, it's also becomes usher, machos usher, finished. We'll elaborate that on shortly. Bimahaya dover muad, but it was only baked a very small amount. Kedei achilah b'vasachas, of the amount you would normally eat at one sitting, okay, you wouldn't have any left over. Oh, or we accept both definitely. Oh, Shashina Tzura Sapash, Shatini Keresh Loyuchal Babasar, or you did something unusual in terms of the shape of the roll, the shape of the bread. So now you'll know that it'll be a hecker. It's not going to be, you know that it's milchik, that it won't come to you with meat, that it's mutter. Okay, that's the chaber. So you accept both definitions, either or. Either it can be a small quantity or some other way to serve as a reminder, something about the shape in itself. That'll be a reminder to you not to. Not to eat it with fleshy. Kerutzibo, same thing. Ain't often paspitana should talk about it. Same thing. You shouldn't bake bread in an oven that was greased up with the flesh. If awful, you know, kisa shoshimachol. If you did, and it's also like bread that was kneaded with dough. Amor adds, chain lochain. Nogin lolos pas im cholov bechaga shavuos. Okay. You're allowed to people eat milchis on shavuos. So the other place where the Ramon mentioned shavuos. So on Shavuos, you're allowed to make bread, milking bread, okay? But again, because you bake a small amount. Or gam b'shumun l'kvod Shabbos. People sometimes put the fat, the chicken schmaltz. Schmaltz, you know, ribbonous schmaltz. People bake that into the chicken schmaltz. because people put the fat from the chicken that was left over at the bottom of the pan. Okay, so people think schmaltz. Remember, it's not too healthy, but I remember my father, Olav Shalom, was like a treat. My mother would sometimes bring out, after we had the made hamotzi, she'd bring out a little bowl with the congealed chicken schmaltz in it. And added the schmaltz to the challah. Today, more health-conscious people avoid that. It's not exactly the best for your cholesterol or for your heart. Sometimes you would even fry it up and make what's called gribiness. Okay, you can ask your grandparents about schmaltz and gribiness. You don't know about it. But anyway, and today, I guarantee you, there's not even a habit of my wife would think about this thing. But in those days, people were less health-conscious and enjoyed tasty food like that. Anyway, so, but the Ramah mentions you can have, you can bake a L'chavit Shabbos. Why? Because the Ramah says, Ki kol zeh mechashev k'davar mu'at. Okay? Because these are all the davar mu'at. It's a small amount. Gam ki tiros mishum mishar pas, and sometimes pashtida, it's mutter. It looks a little different. Okay. So that's the isra and the heter of dairy bread, of milky bread in Sivalim, of fleshy bread in Sivalim. The Taz, the cotton olive, mentions the following point. He says, Mizen nira li, the meducha shedochen ba besamim. If you have a grinder, which makes spices, umishtamshin habsamim hain im bosev hain im cholam. It's parv. Okay, and you use these spices, both milk and flesh, that's okay. But upam achas dochu shom shum im marak shel shum avaz. But once we used it for garlic, which was soaked or had been absorbed the flavor of fat from the goose, whatever it was, it had soup or gravy and absorbed into the flavor of what you're grinding up. And v'chakach mazirno soroto al avaz. And you put that onto the goose and so on. You can't use that anymore at all because it now has this maducha, this winder, now has the flavor of fleshig in it. So now you're not allowed to use it. You certainly can't use it as milkings, okay, because it has inside it ground up, you know, garlic or whatever. You made it. Today people don't usually grind it. You buy pre-ground garlic and so on. So some people still do. So if you have this grinder, you ground up the garlic with was slice of garlic. The garlic was soaked in the soup or gravy, so on, or fat from chicken or from goose or whatever. So now you're not allowed to use this at all. Okay, I feel like Bosa Shem Yoba Lechol Mecholim. The Taz writes based on the same din. Why is this din limited only to bread? What's our concern? You're going to have leftover bread that's milky or fleshy, whichever way. And you're left over next meal, you eat the opposite din, milky or fleshy, and you eat the same bread. That won't be a problem. So the Taz says the same thing with the spice, with the spice grinder. Okay, if you use it, so we shouldn't be allowed to use it at all. Not even the same as the bread. The bread we said you can't even eat by itself. You gotta get rid of it. Same thing once this grinder becomes fleshing. Okay? Didn't we learn the last simon, says the Taz, 1 second. Okay? Below Dami Lamasha Kosa, we learned in the last simon, Tzadi Vosim Gimel. We said before, spices which were ground and a fleshing thing, you can't use it with milking, obviously, but you use it with fleshing. So why is this different? Right? We saw in the previous one, a grinder, which was used to grind up spices, fleshing, okay, so then you can eat with fleshing. Here we're saying, the Taz saying it's like the bread, you shouldn't be allowed to eat it at all. But that's different, because in some, Irish, no, there, it was known that it was a fleshing grinder to begin with. The flesh and grinder, you can't use it with milk. But here, and as we started off with, this was a grinder. Shadochin, look at the first line of 25. Shadochin ba besamim, shamshin ha besamim, hain im basim, hain im cholav. This was parv to begin with. So now you're going to get mixed up. Okay, that's what the Taz says. And the Xer, of course, the reason behind all this, and Shach explains it. Now, the reason behind this iser, afilu achol levade, you can't even eat this milky bread or fleshy bread. We'll focus on milky bread. Can't at all. Gzera shemli yochlenu im basar, because you may come to eat it by mistake with meat. Yeah, so the Shach again, it's gone out. Just explains the reason behind this whole thing. So in the Gemara, is gzera shemli yochlenu im basar. Not even allowed to eat the milky roll by itself or with milk. It's not even by itself. You may come to eat it with meat. So it's interesting that Pesachei Tshuva has some interesting comments, specifically to Tzikot and Gimel. It's Tzikot and Beis. I'll read that first. So we'll look specifically at Tzikot and Gimel. But at Tzikot and Beis, he just writes, if there's a confusion, made this bread, made this milk bread, then it got mixed up. These Arab kikras, everything, or sacheros, got mixed up with other ones. So that's a question what to do. Or if there's some milk spilled in the shogeg, you know, it could be that this is only a problem if we did it amazed, like a knas, kim hechashav amazed. But he said, Mr. Stimus Haposkin says even the shogeg, so it refers to another sefer called Nachlas Tzvi of his. Which is printed on the bottom. We'll get back to that shortly. But what I really want to focus on for the moment is in Sifkot and Gimel, Chachuma mentioned a number of qualifications or to limit limitations on this whole Isser. First of all, he says, or limitations on the Heter, actually. So he says, first of all, this Heter, if you do a Kain Tura, what it means you prepared a small amount, or you made it in a certain shape and so on, it will serve the Heker. So first he writes, I am a Chuvas Maharit, Shekos of the Ein Mol Shinui Rak Beveso. This Shinui is a person in his own personal house, own personal kitchen, makes the Shinui, so you know what the Shinui with the Heker is. So then you won't come to eat with flesh. Avalasos Pas Maruba, Limko Beshuk, then also the Orchem Lekir Beshinui. Just you're going to make it a different way, and they're going to sell it publicly and give it to other people are going to buy it, they're not going to know what, they may notice the shinoi. They won't necessarily know what the shinoi is. They won't know what it's for. Again, we had two possibilities in the Gemara. One was you made the milk, the bread with the milking ingredients. The other one was you cooked the bread in an oven, which was fleishig. It was greased up with the fleishig, you know, with olive. Now the fleishig, so you made it with the shinoi, that's very good. But the person who bought it, or the person who eventually got the challah, didn't know what the shinoi represented. So therefore, this shinoi says the marit that the Bishvichuva quotes here, the emol shinoi rak b'meisav alasos apas meruba limko b'shuk, also the orchem erkim b'shinoi, and then he adds, we'll talk about this, the afal smach ha'oda also, and even in Italian, but I'll notify everybody when I sell it. I'll notify it, tell everybody, well, what's going on here, right? I'll make it a label or do something. We'll talk about that momentarily, but you'll make some kind of announcement. This shinoi represents that it's milk, that it's fleshy. So no, the chayshin shem yishkach maladi, you may forget. You'll sell 10 pieces, and 9 of the customers will tell them what the shinoi is, but they'll be busy with the 10th one, the phone ring. So they also happen to forget to tell them and so on. So therefore, we don't rely on that. 3, then he quotes the Chavos Das, an interesting comment. Ayin Chavos Das, shekoso od, the shinoi emol rak kesheshina b'shas afio. This shinoi only works when you make the shinoi at the time when you're baking it. The low higher all of Isser Klal, because it never became Osir yet. This milking bread, we'll focus on milking bread. This milking bread only became a problem once you baked it. So therefore, if you made the shinoi while you're baking it, so it never became Osir yet, right? And by the time it was baked, so now it had the shinoi, which is Matarit. So therefore, it never became Osir. Avalasa shinoi achar shikar nesar. But if you already baked milking bread, now it became Osir based on the din. Now it's also, right? Okay, maybe with flesh. Now you'll make some kind of shinoi, some kind of a mark, some kind of a label or something like that. That's no good to the Chavos Das. Ain't a oil. So that's an interesting chumra from the Chavos Das, Pesach Chuvah says. Now, if you make the shinoi after, it's not going to help, because once it became also. So good, I made a shinoi, but it already became also. So you have to make the shinoi at the time of the baking. Either you're baking a very small amount, or you're making a shinoi in the shape, whatever we discussed. But the shinoi has to be b'shas afia. Can't make the shinoi after he baked it, because then it was already labeled as a davar aser, and therefore making the shinoi now is too late. Again, even if you're now going to go out and give it out to people, very small amounts, each person, small amount, an amount for one sitting, so to speak, right? You'll tell people it's milking bread, eat it with a milking bread, and it's a one sitting, so there's no chashash, and they're going to be left over and eat with flesh later on. It's not going to help, okay? Because again, kevan shekvar neser, the Nasa Nevela, it's like Chaticha Nasa Nevela, sort of. I mean, it's a different application. But it already became Osir. Okay, so that's what the Chavos Das said. I have a chain das up in the bottom. With the local crazy place, he disagrees, and he says you can make the shinoi afterward. We'll get to that in a second. Finally, the Chasu Obichu is married, Shom, to a different direction. The Hod Osim, like a shinoi, Dafka, Hechadika, Chashash, and Gvina Biachad. The problem with fleshing bread, you know, that it's only a concern if you're going to eat it, you know, a real concern, you'll eat it with cheese. If you're cooking some type of a sweet bread, cake or something like that, something sweet, okay, donuts or whatever, which is not normal to eat with cheese. Okay, or the other way around, not normal to eat with meat. Nobody has, you're not going to have sweet cake together with a piece of meat. You're not going to use a sweet, very sweet roll, you know, which is meat in masika, and eat it with a salami. So in that case, then it's mutter. Okay, then it's mutter. Mutter also says, Mishum lo chashin shema achem yochal. The diner mash also ain lo leaves or gzera cheres alev. Okay, so that's what Pesach Tshuva says, you know, the kula. It's a couple of chumras, a couple of limitations, and qualifications on the kula. Make a small, you know, make it with a shinui in the tzura. One, that only works in your house, doesn't work for others. Two, that even if you'll announce it, we're afraid you might forget to announce it. And three, the chavis das is chumra, that you have to make the shinui prior to, you know, when you're baking it, not after you baked it. And he has the one kula, that if the type of thing you'd never eat with basa or with chalav, then it's mutter. Source number 28 comes from the Sefer, or Shech the Sefer, Mipnine Harav, the second production of it, second edition. Likuta and Hogas is page Kuf Tzadi Vos. If somebody will send it out to the group, you can see it there. The entry is Pas Chalavi. That's source number 28 from the Mipnine Harav. There, Shech the quotes as follows. He points to our Pesach Tshuva. I am Pesach Tshuva, the Ordeus in Tzadi Zayin Tzin Kort Megimu, just read. B'shem HaChavaz Das, our Pim Godem, the La'achar HaFiyah Shul Lo Mahani Shinui. Right, that's what we just said, the HaChavaz Das, the Godem. After the HaFiyah, then the Shin doesn't help. It has to help. It has to be at the time of the baking. However, Avaloka Kresu plays, not at the Kresu plays, about Piyah Dvar Me'ela Posach B'shut Kol Mevasir. So the Shul Shal Shul is Kol Mevasir, written by Rabbi Shulam Roth. Shulam Roth is a Gaon in Europe in the mid-1900s. He's actually not Tzioni, but he got into trouble because he printed a tshuva in which he said, tshuva is kol mevasir, I think it's in the book. He writes a tshuva that you should say, halal with a bracha on Yom HaTzmaut. So in many circles, that was the end of Meshulam Roth as a respected posek because of this tshuva. But he's a great posek in Europe, Meshulam Roth. So he has a tshuva, which Rav Shechter quotes here, and says, al pi hadvarim ele posek b'shal tshuva is kol mevasir. It won't help that if you put on the wrapper, this is OUD, or whatever the, you know, the chavkeinti, a dairy, okay? You'll put that on the wrapper. Can you buy milchig bread that says on the wrapper that it's milchig? You keep the bread in the wrapper. So the chor, there shouldn't be a problem. You're not going to come to eat the oflesha because it says on the wrapper it's milchig. Okay, but Shalom Roth was machmer. He said, no, because of this Pesach Tshuva, according to the Chavaz Das, the Prima Godim, it's too late because the wrapper is obviously put on after the baking. According to the Prima Godim and the Chavaz Das, you have to make whatever shina there is at the time of the baking. Here you baked it, so taki became osir. Now you put it in the, you know, in the matefa, right, in the wrapper. And the wrapper had on it indication, clear indication that it's milchig. According to him, it's not affected. No good, because it became osir already and it can't become mutter again because it wasn't done with shas afil. That's what the Chuvas Chol Mevasir said. However, continues of Shechter, Rabbeinu Omer B'Shem Oliv Agon or Moshe Salavetchik, the Hefer. He quoted him in Moshe Salavetchik the other way. Yesh Lahatir, because of Lahed Yalamatefe. He was Mach Mekel. And he said that as long as it's written on the label, that's good enough. Okay? That is good enough. They're not concerned about that problem. Now, actually, one can make a Lum de Shechilik, okay, and say as follows. You can say maybe it's a difference who put the wrapper into Goy, who baked this challah. Who baked this bread? So if a goy baked it, it's a non-Jewish company. Everything's kosher, but it's a non-Jewish company. So it's baked by a goy. Forget the Pasako mission now. It's baked by a goy. So a goy is allowed to bake milk and bread. There's no limitation on a goy baking milk and bread. So actually, it never became osir. And now you put it in the wrapper and you wrote on it OUD or Hofke Dairy or whatever. So now it's a shemutter because the simon was put on afterwards. Okay. But the whole concern of the Chavaz Das is that it has to be done by Shas Aviyah in the language of Pesach Tshuva, the Lohayo Alavis are called. And because it has to be done at a time where there's no Isser. Avalas Hashina Acher Shekmar Neser, Enam Olo. Doesn't help because it already became Osir. Yeah, but not if a Goy baked it. You can make the Lom the Shechil. If a Goy baked it, so never Taka became Osir because there's no Isser on the Goy to bake it. When does it become Isser? When does it become Osir? When the Jew buys it. By the time the Jew buys it, it's already in a wrapper that says it's kosher, it's milchig, or it's fleshy, whatever. So you'll know what to eat it with, what not to eat it with. That's possible. It doesn't say that that's a Moshe Salavetchik sort, but he feels a notation on the wrapper, even though that comes quote unquote after the fact, that's mutter nonetheless. It could be that the Chakir, well, I'll tell you the Chakir in a second, then he mentioned something else at the end of Pesach Tshuva has that kula from the Maharit, that Paschal Avia, Bobby Kisten, Hamamula, Bamina Sika, if you make a sweet, stuffed Paschal Kisten, a pie or a cake or donuts or something like that, which is stuffed with sweets, Ein Lahachma Vilas or Hove, Ein Aderach Lochon Abosu Biachad Namish. That's not eaten together with meat. Nobody takes a sweet, sweet flavored thing and eats it together with a piece of meat, and therefore the Maharit was make on that. That was the end of the Pesach Tshuva. However, here, the Rav was maybe Machmer, and Rav Shechter writes, Koshua Madnu Shulchanot Yodea, Omer Rabbeinu She'osu Lasnus Ugoz Chalavios. He did not like even making cakes, sweetened things, milk things. Apipshuto Olahafet Medivah Marit. That he didn't agree on. But getting back to the first issue, the Machlokas between the Chavos Das, on one side, or Moshe Zalmanchik, thrown on the other side of that, or the Kol Masir, right? The Tshuvas Mishul Roth was Machmer on the label. The Chavos Das and the Pirogarim didn't talk about labels and have labels in those days and wrappers and so on, but the Mishul Roth. So when wrappers, he was Machmer, they're putting in a wrapper and putting on the wrapper Chalavi or a sticker or something like that, saying that it's milk, it's not going to be really good. Because after the fact, the Moshe Zalmanchik would make it could be that it depends upon the following interesting Chakira. What is the nature of this whole din? We'll just move to finish up. What is the nature of this whole din of baking milchig bread and so on, or fleshing bread, milchig bread, we'll focus on. Is it gzer d'abonim? Maybe they made it gzer d'abonim. You can't bake milchig or fleshing bread. And it's basically what the rabbanim did was they created an isser, a chefter shel isser. I mean, we know, the lundas that the chachamim can't create, can't create aser, aser chefter, you can only aser gabra. I won't go into that now, but basically what they declared was that this bread is osir. This bread is osir. Bread that was baked milk or baked fleshing is osir. That they created an isir. And that's exactly what they're born on. All right, so how come it's okay? You can't tour with it. You make a small amount, you make the shape. All right, that's how they made the exer. Hey, mama. That's how they made the exer. Okay. Was that the issue? Is that what happened? They made mamash exer d'abonim? Or no, they were concerned with the practical outcome. There was a practical concern that you may come and eat this milky bread with fleshing, or this fleshing bread with milky, because people normally tend to have leftover. They make challah or bake bread for several meals, not just for one sitting, and they're afraid there'll be some leftover. A practical consideration, okay? Not that they made it zeir drabonin asering milky bread. Milky bread is also because they're afraid of a practical concern. You may come to eat it with fleshing, but they didn't really aser milky bread. That's two ways to look at what there is, and maybe that's the machlokas over here. Okay, so maybe that's the machlokas over here. The question is, what if there's no practical consideration? Okay, so if you hold that they made a gzeirah d'rabbanan, they asered this, it doesn't matter if there's no practical consideration. They asered milky bread, unless at the time of the baking, like the Chavos Das said, you made some type of a shinui, so you didn't make that shinui, so they asered this bread. It's in a wrapper now that says that it's milky. Or there's a sticker on it that says that it's milchig, you're not going to come to eat with fleshing bread. Doesn't matter. It was also ready. That's the nature of the Gzeirah d'Rabbanan. They ushered this. Okay, they made this also. They made it, they said it's also to make this. Even if there's no possibility of eating with fleshing because it's clearly marked, and there's a sticker and a wrapper and whatever else that tells you that it's milchig, doesn't matter. They ushered that. That's how the Chavos Das and Pirogarim perhaps, or Mishulam Roth, understood this Gzeirah. They made such a Gzeirah, and therefore Mishulam Roth says, the fact that it says it's a sticker, who cares? Okay, you're right, there's no practical concern, but once the Rabbanan answered, they answered it. And the only way they were matter it is if they did this cane tour, which means at the time, this shinoi in the time of the baking. On the other hand, if you're the pastor of Soviet and others understood, no. They understood the whole concern is you're going to come and you're going to eat it together with fleshing. And if there's some indication that remind you not to do it, whether it put on before, put on after, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. They never had an isser. There's no chalos shame isser on milky bread. There's a concern. You'll eat milky bread with fleshing goods. So now you have a wrapper or a sticker that tells you not to do it. That is not a problem. Okay, then it'll be okay, even if it's done after the fact. So maybe that's the nekudas hamachlokas here. The Rav pointed out there may actually be another, remember, more nafkaminas in this chakira. For example, okay, let's say the person baked and he ate milky bread by mistake. Okay, they baked it. He's not allowed to eat it, but he ate it. He forgot it, whatever. He did it on purpose, whatever. So now you had a sandwich, or you had, but not with fleshes. You ate milky bread, okay, by itself. You had a whole roll of milky bread. Do you have to bench afterwards? So the famous sheep, the Rambam Machlokes on the Ravid, the Rambam Hilchos Brochos, Parak Aleph Yud Tes, Pindus Source 29. Rambam Paskins, Kol Ha'Ochel Davar Aser, Okay? And it gives an example. Tevel, even Darbonon, Sheni, all these different things. Okay? And certainly Nevelis and Trefus or Yayanesim and so on. That's based, presumably, on the, presumably based on the Mishnah at the beginning of the seventh paragraph of Shal Shachal, where the Mishnah says, you know, talks about eating these different things and counting a person towards the Mizumin, can't count towards the Mizumin if you ate things which were also in Saul. The Rambam understands, not only can't count towards the Mizumin, doesn't have to bench, he has no chiv to bench. The Rabbi did, disagrees, because the Rabbi Zalam Aram, Tob is at Tel Skidola, okay, you look in the Mishnah, it's only talking about counting a person towards the Mizumin, it has to do with Kvias, not our issue right now. But certainly the person would have to bench. Why shouldn't he? So of course, if he gets hano, whoever did, they're not allowed to get hano from this world without a bracha. So of course, if the guy ate something non-kosher, he had hano, he has to make a bracha. All right, and machlokes is around the Rambam. Not really our topic now, but the question is, according to the Rambam, okay, that you would not, again, the Rambam is clear. In the beginning of halachic test, kol ha'ol, perek ha'ol, b'nechus brachas, kol ha'ol, davar also, bein b'zodah, bein b'shkog, ein ha'mavarcha, lo b'chol ha'ol, you don't make a bracha on it. And the Shulchan Aruch passes that way. Orachaim sin kuf tzadivav sifalim. 30. Ochal dover iser. Afal pishen rosel b'darbanan. It's not even darbanan. And that brings our case into the mix. Ein mizam nalav. And ein mizam nalav b'tchilo b'sof. That's how Shulchan Aruch passes. Now, this could depend whether the person ate milky bread. In our case, may depend on achakira. If you hold it, this is takya dover oser. It's classified, so to speak, as machalos asuras. Once Rabbanan made exer, they said this type of milky bread is oser. It doesn't matter if you come to eat with flesh, you won't come to eat stickers and labels after the fact. Too late. Once it was asered, you didn't make any shin at the time of the baking. That's it. This is a dover oser. So if you ate it, so you won't have to bench because the Rambam says, the Shulchan Aruch says, ochal dover oser. Afal bishan oser on darbanan. Even though it's only this darbanan, still, ein mevarchalov. So therefore, you wouldn't have to bench. But if you hold, no, the whole Gzer Darbonin was you shouldn't come to eat this with fleshes. You didn't eat it. You never did eat it with fleshes. You just ate, yes, they made a Gzer. You're not allowed to eat this roll at all, even by itself. You went ahead, you did it. It wasn't the eight machalos. So you may have violated the Gzer Darbonin, but it doesn't classify this piece of bread, this roll, as machalos of service. Then even Korn Rami would have to bench because you didn't eat the Dover Osir. The Maisa, you know, it was something which you didn't end up eating with fleshes. Good. You violated the Dindrabban, not allowed to eat this challah. I'm not good, but you're not supposed to violate. But you violated the Dindrabban, but it wasn't a Dover Usser, okay? It wasn't a Dvar Isser, so therefore you would have to bench. That's a possible nafkamina. The other nafkaminas, we'll see in a second, I just want to point out an interesting din that the Chayadam has, a kula, and may also depend a little bit on this Chakir as well. Okay, the Chochmas Adam, Shar Isvet Kal Nun Os Dalad, Siv Dalad, 31. Okay? He says the whole problem to begin with is only you have enough milk in this dough. You put in so much milk that you don't have shishim against the milk. Okay? You only had a drop of milk in this dough. So then you can't eat with fleish. Okay, on purpose. But you can eat it with milk and you can eat it by itself too. Not worried. Even in the worst case, it was butler anyway. You don't do it. You don't go ahead and put a little milk in your roll when you bake the roll and then go ahead and have it with fleshes. But the Xavier, you're not allowed to eat it at all. You're not even allowed to eat it any time where it was milky. That does not apply over here. Okay, that's the cool of the Chokh Masadam. And then he adds, Venir Ali, Im Ene Yodei, Im Yesh Bal Tam Cholom, what if you're not sure? What if you're not sure? Can you taste it? So he says, Mutol L'Tamon. Taste it and see. Again, you know some milk spilled in. You're not sure if it has the flavor, so taste it. Okay, and he said, it's okay to taste it and see. If it doesn't have a tam chola, then again, you can't eat it with fleshes because you know there's milk in it, but you can eat it by itself. So right, the Chochmas Adam. Okay, however, in the footnotes of the Chochmas Adam, Binas Adam, okay, in those Samach tests there, and again, this is Simon Nun in the Chochmas Adam, in those Samach tests, the Binas Adam on the bottom, 32, quotes the crazy place, he brings a ride the other way. The low mahani tima will pass salosh b'chol, that you can't taste it. Not allowed to taste it. So it's possible that's also enough coming in this question. Okay. If you hold, if you hold with dealing with mamish with dover usser, okay. So what do you mean taste it? It's already rendered usser. Once you baked it with cholov, so then it's already rendered in dover osir, so you can't taste it and see, well, what do you mean? It doesn't matter if there's no milk flavor. They asked her, you have milk in it. Okay, you could argue and say, well, maybe when they weren't gozer with so little milk, but certainly it's a possibility that this did not come in within that chakira. And you could say, like I said, if the soul, you know, can you taste it? Well, that may depend. The chok is the chok chayodim and the grace of placing, maybe on what the nature of the gzera is. According to the chayodim, the whole gzera was never asked this roll, never asked milk and bread. They said you can't eat milk and bread because it may come to you to inflate you. Okay, but if you're not sure, you can taste it. Not going to inflate you. We'll just taste it and see. Does it have a milky flavor? If it does, then it's out. And if it doesn't, then you can eat it by itself. But there's no issur to taste it because it was never labeled as dvar issur. But according to the other view, no. Once they made it, there was a label as dvar issur. So we need to taste it. It doesn't matter. Even if it doesn't, taste it, maybe it's still issur. Possible enough to be in this chakira as well. And another sort of side point on this is, can you put a little in lechatchila? See, the Chayadam writes in 31, he says, it's only a problem if you have enough milk that there's no shishim, okay? But if there is, then it's mutter, and one could perhaps say, maybe even lechatchila can do that, just put a little bit in, right? That will also be a question on this, perhaps telling this chakira. Again, if putting in milk labels in the Dover Osir, so that's also, you don't want to do it, but if it's the whole concern, it's the mighty inflation shoes, that perhaps would be different. Okay, you can think about that. Another nafkum I said, the Piskei Tshuva, this will finish, at the end of Sukkot and Dalet, tells you to take Sukkot and Gimelim, tells you to look in the Sefer and Nun Sadi Nachas Tzvi, I'm sorry, the end of Sukkot and Gibbeis, Nun Nachas Tzvi, it's in the Shulchanoff, it's printed on the bottom of the page. There's another nafkum here, okay? On this issue of the same issue of putting a little bit lechatchila, okay? Again, leaving out whether that's can be extrapolated the Chachmas Amar or not, but he has, would it be a problem, Eino Matlin Isser Lechatchila? Okay, would it be a problem to put in a little bit so that the Isser won't be Chal, Eino Matlin Isser Lechatchila? Okay, so that's a possible nafkamina, because again, if we're dealing with something that's an Isser, so then you're not be allowed to do it Lechatchila, because Eino Matlin Isser Lechatchila, you're only going to put in a little bit. But yeah, so it'll be Bottle. But Eino Matlin Isser Lechatchila. But it's never an Isser on the item itself, it's just a concern, Shema, you'll eat it with meat. Maybe there'll be no problem to add a few droplets of milk, lechatchila. So, because they're not an issue, they ain't allowed with this. So, some nafkaminas, again, nafkaminas chakira. One, we said a simon after the fact, will that do or not? That's a nafkamina. Number two, benching. Okay, you have to bench. Number three, can you taste it? Number four, can you add a little bit of milk, lechatchila? Those are some nafkaminas. We'll see maybe one or two more when we finish up this next time. Go to.